Welcome to fourthstream.com, and today we're talking about John the Baptist.
I've really been looking forward to this because he's an interesting character. You know, you go all the way back to the roots in the scriptures, and the Bible ties him into Elijah, which is crazy because, you know, Elijah is one of the people in the Bible that didn't die. You know, he's taken up into heaven. So when Jesus...
And what's that like?
Well, when God starts prophesying and talking about, I'm going to send John the Baptist, and then when Jesus talks about it and says he was John, he was the Elijah that was to come. I mean, there's a whole woven teaching here that is... So supernatural. It's just, it's crazy.
Yeah, and as we talk about John the Baptist, one of the things that struck me, I've heard Beth Moore talk about this. I'm not going to give the whole quote, but basically she just challenges us to see the people in the scriptures as people with a lot of life instead of like mannequins, because we put so much emphasis on our own lives, you know, what we do each day and how we feel and how we think and how things affect us. And then sometimes we look at the scriptures and, you know, we just don't really make them people.
Well, and, you know, in this context too, I don't know, I can't help but when I think of John the Baptist and Jesus's life, both of their lives, they didn't live a normal life. I mean, you know, they were kind of, I don't know, conscripted to a road that God had prepared for them. And so I thought about that. And, you know, there are choices that we make and things over which we have little or no control. You know, our parents, ethnicity, century, country of our birth, as well as our personal history, for example. So we don't have any influence over those kind of things, those basic defining parameters of who we are. Now, he was born John the Baptist. I mean, he didn't choose to be John the Baptist. But then side by side with that, we make our choices. You know, we choose our friends, we decide the nature of our core beliefs and desires, which obviously Jesus and John the Baptist had to do. I often muse over, when did Jesus become self-aware with regard to being God? I mean, did it happen when he was in the manger, or did it happen when he was in the temple?
And
or
same
when?
With John the Baptist. When did he go out to the wilderness? He didn't go out there when he was 6 months old. So when did he decide, that's where I want to live?
Right. So, you know, here they are. They've lived till 30 years old, which means that they've lived through all the issues related to what their lives could have looked like. Mm-hmm. But they have chosen different paths. And that's, I don't know, it's kind of chilling to my heart to think about what a sacrifice they made.
And do you ever wonder what their relationship was like as kids? I mean, they must not have lived real close to each other, because it sounds like Mary went to Elizabeth. I don't know if that was a day away or whatever. But so they would have made 3 trips to Jerusalem probably each year. And so they would have seen each other then. I wonder, though, were they close cousins? Did they try to see each other more often?
Well, we don't even get a sense about that with Jesus' own family.
Right.
I mean, you know their family. You know they're connected with each other.
But you know the Jewish culture.
Yes.
And so, you know, while we can't completely assume, we can maybe put something in there that says they were close to family. And so then what did they talk about? And did their brothers roll their eyes and walk away? Or did they kind of listen? I just think it's interesting.
There they go again, John the Baptist over there talking with Jesus, the Nazarene.
The Savior of the world.
You know, that's one of the neat things about John the Baptist is he's the first one to really recognize who Jesus was. Mm-hmm. You know, remember when he saw him walking and he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world." And you wonder what the process was that he went through, because I think that was more of a biblical statement of him understanding the truth of what was happening. And certainly he was aware of who Jesus was becoming and who Jesus thought he was. But, you know, for John the Baptist, what a thing to see. And then to penetrate right to the depths of, "Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world." Yeah, that's a freaky thought. Well, there's a lot of neat passages about John the Baptist. And when you think about Elijah and being tied together with Elijah, we just picked out one today that we kind of want to go through that just, you know, talks a little bit about his life.
Which one are you talking about? I'm sorry.
Well, I was thinking
I was flipping through my pages
The one in Luke is the one I was thinking about.
Okay.
You know, Bernadette always, you know, grabs the message and looks it up so that we can have dueling versions.
Luke chapter 1 or chapter 7?
I was talking about the one later on.
Okay.
You know, yeah.
Yeah, so when he's in prison. So
yes.
John is in prison now.
So a lot of water's under the bridge. You know, he's gone out and he's done... he's fulfilled the prophecy Isaiah 40, and now he has kind of run a bunch of his course, and he's coming to the end of his course.
Right, and he knows he's facing death. He knows that he's in prison, and one way or the other, he's not going to make it out. And so John's disciples reported back to him the news of all these events taking place, and he sent two of them to the master to ask the question, "Are you the one we've been expecting, or are we still waiting?" And you just, you know, from the depths of his heart, he knew that he was the Savior. And yet when you're facing death, you really hope you've been on the right road the whole time.
I think this is in the context, too, right after the widow or the child, you know, at Nain has been, you know, basically raised from the dead or brought back from the dead. And so, you know, there's a lot of stuff happening, and John's got to hear about it in prison. And obviously, he had communication with his followers.
So in the next 2 or 3 hours, so the men showed up before Jesus and said, "John the Baptizer sent us to ask you, are you the one we've been expecting, or are we still waiting?" And in the next 2 or 3 hours, Jesus healed many from diseases, distress, and evil spirits. To many of the blind, he gave the gift of sight. Then he gave his answer, "Go back and tell John what you have just seen and heard. The blind see, the lame walk, lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the wretched of the earth have God's salvation, hospitality extended to them. Is this what you were expecting? Then count yourselves fortunate."
And how kind, when you think about, you know, John has run his race, he is Jesus' cousin, and the question comes, and Jesus knows that he's in prison. And to do these miracles, it's like God was waiting to do this cluster of miracles just to benefit John the Baptist, because this was early on in the ministry of Jesus.
Well, we have to back up a little bit, I think, in his life to his birth. When Zacharias, his dad, was the priest, and he goes in and God says, "You're going to have a son," and you know, he just can't quite believe it. And so God says, "You don't believe me? You don't get to talk for 9 months." So he doesn't speak for 9 months. Elizabeth has John the Baptist, but he's not named. The eighth day, they come together for the circumcision, and all of their friends are saying, you know, they're expecting a name.
Yeah.
And she says, "We're going to name him John." And they're like, "Well, that doesn't make any sense. You don't have anybody in your family named John." And so they give Zacharias a tablet, and he writes it out. His name will be John. And at that moment, he started to speak.
Can you imagine 9 months you have been totally tongue-tied, unable to speak at all, and boom, there it is.
But get this. A deep, reverential fear settled over the neighborhood, and in all that Judean hill country, people talked about nothing else. Everyone who heard about it took it to heart, wondering, what will become of this child? Clearly, God has his hand in this. Then, this is just after Zechariah has been mute for 9 months.
9 months.
He is filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesies. He says, "Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel. He came and set his people free." Then he says more, but now he gets down to his own child, and he says, "And you, my child, prophet of the highest, will go ahead of the master to prepare his ways, present the offer of salvation to his people, the forgiveness of their sins. Through the heartfelt mercies of our God, God's sunrise will break in upon us, shining on those in the darkness and those sitting in the shadow of death, and then showing us the way, 1 foot at a time, down the path of peace."
And that is so beautiful, because obviously Zacharias is a priest, and you can see the book of Malachi reflected in that song that he's just singing. You can also see Isaiah 40. So he knew the prophets, he understood, and he had those 9 months to think about his being visited by
well,
the angel.
He certainly wasn't going to spend time talking.
No, he couldn't pull that off. Well, this is just a beautiful story, and we invite you into the story of John the Baptist. You know, with the rest of the things that are available right here on iForestream.com on this particular character, just dig in and think about it, and think about what it would have been like to live his life, and what it would have been like to be his mom.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, my goodness, she meets Mary. What a crazy
meeting!
And her baby
starts kicking around.
Well, you've got Elizabeth, who is 6 months along, and she's way past the time of being able to even have children, apparently. Mm-hmm. And then you've got Mary, who's never slept with a man. I mean, what a cataclysmic confluence, you know, of life on these two women. And it's another situation where it makes me think and realize how God views women and how God, you know, goes to women and works through women to bring some of the most amazing things that have ever occurred on the face of the earth. Pretty cool. John the Baptist. Hey, hope you enjoy it.